The following program is brought to you by Whiteman TV and Bruce Telecom.
A choice for sports. We know our stuff.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs.
A choice for sports. We know our stuff.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are in a very sunny but way too dry Hanover, Ontario, bringing you our second episode of Baseball Talk for our second season. We have Steve Fitzsimmons over here, Andy Clark. We have our man Adam Oliveira running things capably in the booth. And we have a guest host today here, our California correspondent, Kerr Clark. Welcome to the show, Kerr.
Hi, little brother. happy to be here.
Nepotism in action. Yeah, he's my big brother there, here to talk sports.
Well, we should thank him very much. Of course, he helped us line up the interview last year with former Major League Baseball player Joe Borchardt. So thank you for that.
And that's part of why I'm here. He loved it so much. I wanted to see what this was about. I've been watching the show online, and in his feedback, he really enjoyed his time with you guys.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And you said when you caught up with him after he'd been on the show, he had been visiting with a fairly well-known baseball player in his own right there, yeah?
Yeah, he just happened to name drop Tim Tebow had been by to do some batting practice. They have the coach that he used to use out of Stanford. There's the connection there. So could you imagine doing BP with Tim Tebow? Incredible.
Yeah, and
maybe play a bit of football afterwards, too.
Absolutely.
Throw the ball around.
Yeah, two quarterbacks.
Because they both were starting quarterbacks
in NCAA. Yeah,
so that would be kind of cool. Yeah, let's drop the baseball bats and throw the football. Tebow having said, not to spend too much time on old Tim there, but actually playing pretty well in Double A right now.
Yeah, he's really had a bit of a resurgence here, and his batting average is up, and his home runs and RBIs are up. So, you know, maybe he's not a completely dead prospect yet.
Absolutely, especially because the Mets organization stinks so much right now. There may be room for a September call-up.
There could be a path there.
Yeah, you know he's going to sell tickets, and if they're really stinking it out, at least to get a cup of coffee there. I would like to see him, if they're going to do that, for legitimacy's sake, they should park him in AAA for a while anyways. But it's good to see he's doing well in AA right now.
Yeah, it is. And, last year, I think a lot of people had doubts as to how he was going to progress because he really, wasn't really doing great. I think he hit, 228 or something. And, the numbers really, he was connecting the odd time, but it was sort of flashes. But we have to remember, he hasn't played baseball for a lot of years.
Absolutely.
He's been focused on football. He's a tremendous athlete. We know that. So, he's kind of the Bo Jackson thing, but he looks like he's finally, finding his groove. And I think he has a legitimate shot to play in the major leagues eventually, if not maybe as a call-up.
To be at least a semi-regular. I can't see him being a star at the
probably
MLB.
Probably a utility player, maybe.
But as a utility player, I think it's not out of the question at this point. Other notes we should talk about here. We have another show with a similar name there.
Hockey Talk. That hockey show, yeah.
Yeah, and we had Washington Capitals equipment manager Brock Miles on just a few weeks ago, one of our wrap-up shows for Season 3 of Hockey Talk. And he contacted me just recently, and I know there's a screen graphic for Adam that he can get up there. But for our radio listeners, the big news is the Stanley Cup is coming to Chesley because him being part of that franchise winning the Cup, he has the rights to have it for a day, and he's chosen his hometown of Chesley on Friday, August 3rd. It's going to be there from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. I know he's doing some family functions, understandably, at some family places nearby outside of those hours. It says here the first 500 fans will receive a limited edition Washington Capitals Stanley Cup keepsake photo, courtesy of PacMark Limited, and an official Stanley Cup champion souvenir puck. And they're taking donations here for a couple really worthwhile causes there. They're mentioning Chesley Minor Sports and also mental health services in Grey Bruce. And they're giving a nod there, especially to Justin Hammond, who was from Chesley, a young goaltender in his young 20s that took his life a few years ago. So good on Brock Miles. Thanks for sharing that with us. I promised him we'd promo it, even though we're Baseball Talk.
That's okay.
But
fantastic cause. You have a day with it, and you're bringing, bringing funds out for that sort of thing. That's great stuff.
So while we're talking a little hockey, why don't we talk a little bit about a guest we had last year on Baseball Talk, Ron Pegg. And Ron has a great book, and it is the biography of Chris Neal. And I mean, it's a great read.
It is, yeah. I was reaching out to another friend of ours, Jonathan Jackson, who did a lot of sports writing out of Owen Sound, who's now centered out of Guelph. And I noticed Chapter 15 was based around one of his articles. And a lot of really good local content. For viewers and listeners, Ron Pegg's family was very, very close with the Neal family growing up. So he had a lot of insights. He basically saw Chris Neal growing up and is able to sort of tell the story right from being best friends with his daughter from a very young age all the way through to till now, where he's doing some consulting work for the Ottawa, or not consulting work, alumni work with the Ottawa Senators. So interesting character, and it's a worthwhile read. I know you can get them in the Fleshton Library. There's a Christian bookstore in Owen Sound, or you can get them through Amazon online.
And probably on Ron Pegg's website as well, if you search Ron Pegg.
Yes, and since we're baseball talk, he has written some baseball books also.
And we did talk to him about those last year. And, of course, just the amount of organization that he's been involved with minor baseball across not only this province, but actually the country as well. It was a great chat we had with him last year.
Yeah, and he mentioned his son Rob is a head coach at Vanguard University out in California. And
played against Rob back in my day, and his father coached, and they, you know, fantastic baseball players, they're well coached, the whole bit. So it's amazing to see, you know, he's been on the show and
develop on there. Yeah, I think I told that story where the mom, Kathy Pegg, was also a baseball coach. And you know, I kind of peaked baseball wise probably when I was 12, but I used to hit the long ball quite a bit, and that's my memory of Kathy Pegg. Lovely woman, but back then, the kids had a habit of flipping off the helmets as we were running the bases. We felt it made us, you know, faster.
Kind of cooler, yeah.
Or maybe we had the Bryce Harper mentality, just wanted the hair flowing and stuff. But, yeah, I remember at a game in Hanover, she was coaching the Fleshton team, and I got a hold of one pretty good. And as I was rounding second, I flipped off the helmet. And apparently there was a rule on the books that you're supposed to keep the helmet on. So she was all over that young umpire to...
Should be out?
Hey, that I should be out, that the home run should have been... We would have had a George Brett situation on our hands, right? Instead of the pine tar, the helmet flip or something. So, nice. So we've covered some of those short notes we wanted to, but last night was the All-Star game. There's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, there is. And, you know... let's start with the fact, I mean, it was a wild game, and obviously there was a ton of home runs, and we can...
Did they just combine the home run derby and the game together? Good Lord.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of sort of batting practice pitchers out there last night. Yeah. At least the hitters certainly made them look like. And, you know, it was nice to see all the big stars, Trout, Judge, Bryce Harper, Votto, being part of that home run derby. But, you know, at the end of the day, the one thing that kind of struck me is... That game decides who gets Game 7 of the World Series for home field advantage. And I just don't really think that's right. I really wish there was a better solution to that, because I just felt that it didn't feel right.
Well, you know, the history of that is the All-Star game was, you know, just not particularly well played. They would go through the motions, and this was a way of making it more competitive. But you're absolutely right. Is this, you know, an outcome where, you know, it's a big, big deal in the end. But, you know, you look back at the All-Star game, the Pete Rose days, right? You know, running through the catcher. It's interesting what the motives are for these players, you know, the kind of money that they're making, especially, you know, yesterday, we were talking about this earlier, you see a home run derby during the game. Mm-hmm. And what's going on there? Why are we seeing that kind of...
Yeah, like there was 10 home runs in last night's All-Star game, and the previous most was 6. So it blew that out of the water. Mm-hmm. So what is going on?
It's a really interesting question, what's going on. But, you know, I think certainly with some of the pitchers, I think, you know, they realize that they're going to pitch very soon for their own team.
Correct.
And I think they're taking things off a little bit. You know, are they giving it, I don't want to say 100%, because are they just not, you know, if they usually pitch 95 miles an hour with, you know, oomph, are they pitching like 90 miles an hour with not as much oomph, you know, as this showcase? It's hard to say. I mean,
it is.
And I think it's kind of a, it's something where the pitcher maybe doesn't even realize they're doing it, but it's just not as meaningful a game as playing for your own team, right? And I think you can't kind of envision ahead to that my team's going to be in the World Series and you really have that sort of edge or fire, because obviously there's tons of people in that game that know they're not going to the World Series because their team is way out of it. So for them, there's not a lot of edge there for that.
Correct. Representing a league versus your team, two right. different things. Absolutely.
How much do you think there's been a lot of talk about juiced baseballs the last 2 years? How much do you think that's a factor?
Hard to say. I mean, it certainly could be a factor. I know there's obviously the pitchers, some of them have voiced their displeasure at what the baseballs are like right now, and they feel it's an issue. But
Kind of an argument that some players that traditionally through their careers haven't been lights out power hitters have become power hitters. One name that was thrown out that way was Justin Smoke. I'm a big fan of his, so I want people to
You know what? I wonder
it,
if it, I think more with Justin Smoke, it was a lack of quality opportunity. And so he had that last year, maybe for the first time, of not being a platoon player, where he basically batted his way into not being a platoon player anymore with injuries and various things with the Jays. And so I don't think it's as much that for in his case, but you could be right about that in other people's case. But, you know, Smoke has always shown a penchant for hitting home runs.
Makes good contact.
He does. Yeah. And he can hit the ball a long way. So I think in his case, it's maybe the wrong person to kind of use as the example of why this is happening. Because I think in his case, it's just more opportunity. But you look, I mean, compare Aaron Judge last year. I mean, he had 52 home runs, 114 runs batted in. Right now, 25 home runs, 60 RBIs. We're obviously past the halfway point. So he's not going to touch those numbers from last year. And, I mean, we know, you know, he's a heck of a player. But, you know, it's not really playing out that it's he's going to improve on his numbers from last year.
Yeah. And for every argument, there is the counter argument. And off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the Orioles' Chris Davies, who, you know, a number of years ago was hitting 52 dingers and stuff, and right now he's only hitting about 160 with, like, zero power. So if there is a juiced baseball, it's not doing much for Chris Davies.
Mm.
I'd say now to bring another factor into it, when I was just looking over the notes of the All-Star game, I came across young Jordan Hicks, who I don't think played in the All-Star game. He's a rookie. He's only had about, you know, 40 appearances as a reliever, St. Louis pitcher. But what piqued my interest was this 21-year-old is apparently thrown a pitch over 105 miles per hour.
Wow.
They're saying him
is
and Aroldis.
Possible?
Him and Aroldis Chapman are the only two that have done it. Aroldis has done it a few times.
Right.
They've been clocked. So 105.1 in a major league game. So this is a 21-year-old from Houston, and he averages on a sinker. His sinker is averaging 100 miles an hour this season.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
So can we say Tommy John in a couple of years?
Yeah.
Because
how long does it last?
I just don't think the ligaments can sustain that kind of pressure.
So here was where I was going with that is when I was like, wow, who is this Jordan Hicks kid? And I started looking it up. And the amount of stats that are available for any pitcher. So they started getting down into a hyper-detailed breakdown of the strike zone from the catcher's perspective, of what the batting average is in these tiny quadrants. And, you know, I was starting to, you know, I'm a couch potato. I haven't picked up a baseball bat other than for my kids in the backyard in the last few years. And I was already starting to formulate a game plan on how I would try and hit this guy. Like, I'd be laying off the high inside. I'd be laying off the... And so the amount of information available to batters out there, I think, is maybe giving them a bit of an advantage over pitchers right now, too.
Yeah, you could well be right about that. It's interesting speculation. You know, the other thing about the game last night that struck me is, you know, Mike Trout. I mean, he's just a heck of a ball player. He might be the best player in the game, but he's somewhat overshadowed, I think. And Kara, I mean, you live in that area. He's overshadowed. His personality isn't such that, you know,
big.
He seeks the limelight. He's just a heck of a player. But I think he's kind of a quiet guy that doesn't really want to sort of be in that spotlight and thrive on the interviews and all that part of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, this guy is the
best player.
Different
generation, right? He really doesn't seem to be a bigger sort of marketing product, right, that you would expect with somebody who plays that well. But he's content. He's, by all accounts, a fantastic teammate. They love him down there. They really do, local, but he's not national, is
right.
really the in the end. but fantastic to watch.
So as far as advertising, you live in the Los Angeles area, Thousand Oaks. How much do you see him on billboards or in local ads, radio, TV?
The Dodgers, they really
Dodgers
are dominating that market right now. They really are.
And maybe, you know, from a Major League Baseball perspective, you know, they might like to have a different sort of personality and somewhere a little more outgoing with the media stuff. And maybe in a different, more focused media market. As you say, they get overshadowed in their own market. But, I mean, Major League Baseball does have Aaron Judge, at least, in a high-profile market. He's kind of a high-profile guy, I think, too, as well. So, you know, is he as good a player as Mike Trout? I don't think he's quite as good a player. Mike Trout is a five-tool player, let's be honest with you. Aaron Judge maybe is a four-tool player. But Aaron maybe will take some of that sort of spotlight and heat to promote Major League Baseball more than maybe Trout does, except sort of regionally.
Correct. But Trout has the track record so far. Aaron Judge, it's in front of him, so we'll see how that all plays out.
Speaking of, you know, limelight and stuff like that, I did catch just the last few rounds of the home run contest. And Bryce Harper, two things. He did put on a show for the hometown fans.
Yep.
And he sure loves the limelight.
The question is he going to hit any good in the next 30 days after doing that?
Yeah.
Whereas Trout will.
Part of the tension, I don't know if you caught the home run derby, but when it got to the final, I was like saying to myself, you know, this guy with the big black beard that was his, you know, pitching for him, he missed a ton of pitches. I don't know if you saw that, where a ton outside. He was overcracking and throwing some outside the strike zone.
Right.
And he was trying to. Bryce likes them on the inside half of the plate, but he was getting too far inside.
Right.
And I like now that instead of doing the 10 outs, they have it on a timer.
Right.
So it actually was getting pretty tense there because his dad, like, matzo balled. And so that was the striker. It was his dad.
It was the
pitcher, yeah. But so then towards the end, he ended up hitting 9 in a row to finish out as time was coming down. And they have this thing that if they can hit 2 or more over 440 feet, they get a bonus 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
And that kind of builds the tension. So he hit the 9 in a row, and then he had his 30 seconds after that where he had to hit 1, and he did put it out, and the hometown fans loved it. But, they changed the format. That's the thing is the All-Star Game is an exhibition, and this goes back to your original.
It's supposed to be fun. It's a showcase for fans. It's
fun
an enjoyable thing. Like, you don't want it to affect your game moving forward. And I mean, there's been lots of suggestions by players that have gone into a funk after the All-Star Game and after in particular the home run hitting contest. But, you know, this is supposed to be fun for fans, and it is, largely.
Read a great article about the home run contest. It was a Washington Post reporter had gone out to figure out where to go with the best setup. The 9 in a row became problematic because the fans are watching one coming in with another in behind it. It was a situation where people were dodging, you know, left and right at a certain point.
Yeah, and that's where they have that rule now where the previous one has to land before the pitcher's allowed to release the next one to the home plate. And you're speaking about funks after the All-Star, and you were also mentioning Aaron Judge. Remember last year he
cratered.
He was setting records for strikeouts in the month or so after the All-Star game.
You know what? Speaking of that, I mean, Aaron Judge last year, 208 strikeouts he had. He has 132 right now. He's not going to be very far off of that either.
For some players, though, does it matter? Like, Bo Jackson led the league in strikeouts for several years in a row, and no one seemed to care as long as he could still
he's hitting 276 right now. He had 284 last year. I guess when you make contact, as long as you make it count, that's all that matters, really.
Him and Giancarlo, putting on a show there.
Absolutely. Nice to see Jay Happ get into the game and save the game for the American League. And it might be one of the last appearances we see of Jay Happ in the American League. He could, you know, there's certainly a lot of talk about him getting traded somewhere in the National League, but we'll see where it goes. And, I mean, later in the show, I know we're going to talk a little Blue Jays, but good for Jay Happ.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to make up my mind whether I think they should move him or not, because he is their best starting pitcher by far. So many of them are underperforming. And
he's certainly getting the most out of his ability, and good for him for that.
He is a valuable asset. I guess it all comes down to what would be the potential return. I guess that's what I'd have to be looking at. So,
well, and I mean, the return, I mean, it has to be huge. I think it has to be a legitimate prospect that's maybe a tier below, you know, Bo Bichette and those guys, and Guerrero. But it has to be a legitimate future Major League Baseball player, I think, that's not very far away. It probably is a Major League Baseball player that's playing now that isn't maybe, you know, top tier or anything, but a useful piece to a team. A
solid piece.
And yeah, maybe something else. I think that's the kind of combo that I'd be looking for if I'm the Jays.
If it was future prospect, because the Blue Jays have a pretty stocked shelf right now as far as prospects, I would only take it on the terms of if it was a pitcher, because they need pitching so badly.
You can never have enough pitching.
You can never have enough pitching. So that's the only prospect I'd take for J-Hap. And then otherwise, I'd like to see some immediate help. This season's probably, you know, written off as far as how far back they are, but we're looking forward to next season.
You know, I look at it as a similar type of situation to R.A. Dickey for Noah Syndergaard type of thing. You know, there's a comparable to be made there in the terms of the quality of a great starting pitcher right now. And of course, you know, we know that he had come off a Cy Young Award at that time for the Mets. And, you know, J.A. Happ isn't necessarily there for the Jays, but I think, you know, he's got some years left in him. And Dickey was much older, as we know. And, you know, I think somewhere just a tier below that situation is really what the Jays have to be after in this situation.
Looking for, yeah. Another one that's, should they trade him? Well, I think at this point most people are thinking they should trade them is Donaldson. And last week I was talking
He's worth nothing, though. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, he has so little market value. They might be smarter to, you know, go to Donaldson and say, look, why don't we do a two-year deal for $17 million a year? It's less than what you were probably thinking, or a one-year deal to reestablish your value. And if we're nowhere next year, we'll make a trade and get you to somewhere, and we'll get some assets for you. Because I don't think it's a win for anyone here. He is not going to get the kind of contract that we, just a short year and a half ago, probably were thinking $25 to $30 million for him. I mean, what is he going to get right now? He's done nothing for a couple of years, largely due to injury. We know that. But at the end of the day, I think he has to reestablish that market value. There's going to be a team that's going to gamble on him, but not at $30 million.
Yeah, and speaking of the injury and stuff, I was a little outspoken about him last week. I was a big fan of how he plays the game, but I saw an interview 3 or 4 weeks ago where he said he was 100% with everything. It's his calf that's injured, and he said, except for a little bit of discomfort on the base pass, he was going to sit out another week or two until he was 100% on the base pass.
So where is he?
So, yeah, this is 4 weeks later, and his little bit of discomfort has him out now for, I can't even tell you how long he's been out. And, you know, and it's unfair sometimes to compare cultures, you know, hockey and baseball, mm-hmm. but in this book, that was one of those things that came up. Chris Neal, he thought he had an abscessed tooth, and he had played with it for a few games, and it was getting more and more painful, so he actually went in and had it looked at. And the dentist is like, you have a fractured jaw. And so we put on a mask and he kept playing. You know, fractured jaw, misses zero games.
Yeah.
slight calf discomfort on the base pass. You're missing like a month.
The thing with Donaldson, though, I mean, he's costing himself a ton of money, you know. And I get it. If you don't want to play if you're not right. But if you're really close to 100%, I think it behooves you to help your team. But also, like, when your market value is in the toilet like his is right now, I mean, he needs to get on the field and show a little bit of something.
All right, I think we should take our first recess, and then we'll come on back with we have two Clark Ives today's ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back with the first of our Clark Ives.
And we have two Clarks, so there you go.
Two Clarks, two Clark Ives.
Looking for an oil change, in a rush, or haven't scheduled an appointment? No problem. Holman Motors in Hanover is pleased to introduce the No Appointment Needed Oil Change. They've got you covered to service your needs and busy lifestyle and look after your vehicle at your convenience. They've got what you need when you need it. Stop by anytime for an oil change at Holman Motors Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, across from the racetrack in Hanover, and at holmanmotors.com.
There at the post.
I remember the first time my dad took me to the races. I bet on Frankie the Bullet. The gates swang into the stretch.
And they're off.
My heart was pounding. I picked Frankie because he was lucky number 7. And seriously, what's faster than a bullet? Dad put me on his shoulders for the final lap.
A photo finish.
Turns out Haley's Comet is faster than a bullet.
Come join us this weekend at Hanover Raceway. Admission is always free. Visit us online at hanoverraceway.com. Hanover Raceway, we bet you'll love it.
This is Taryn with the Hanover Sights and Sounds Festival. Are you looking to get involved in the community? In need of volunteer hours? We would love your help to make this year's festival the best one yet. If you would like to get involved, give me a call at 519-506-2474 or email cip@hanover.ca. For more details and a schedule of events, visit sights-sounds.ca.
Did you know we can help ease what you spend on electricity with free energy-efficient upgrades for your home? Through the Affordability Fund, Westerio Power is providing eligible residential customers with a free energy-saving kit to help save energy at home. Customers in need of further assistance will also receive a free in-home energy assessment and the opportunity for further upgrades. To see if you qualify and to learn more about the program, apply online at affordabilityfund.org or call 1-855-494-FUND. The program is part of the Government of Ontario's Fair Hydro Plan and offered by Westerio Power.
Join us in Hanover this summer. We've got an experience for you. Enjoy live music, harness racing, and theater. Play the slots or family recreational activities. Tour our vibrant downtown featuring great shopping and events. Taste our locally brewed, handcrafted beer and the many dining options. This is just a snapshot of what awaits you. Join us. For expert advice and product assistance, shop your locally owned Bell store in downtown Hanover. Discover more at hanover.ca.
I'm Chris Williams, a fire investigator with the Office of the Fire Marshal. Many people who die in home fires are overcome by smoke while trying to escape. Having a home fire escape plan is one of the best ways to ensure you and your loved ones get out safely. Everyone in your home should know two ways out of all areas. Assign an adult to help the very young and older adults. Choose a safe meeting place outside and call the fire department from the neighbors. A message from the Fire Marshal's Public Fire Safety Council and this station.
At Source for Sports, we know our stuff.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs.
At Source for Sports, we know our stuff.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, to Baseball Talk on Blue Water Radio. 91.3 FM, and on Whiteman TV, you can catch us Friday nights at 8 o'clock, right after the horse racing on Channel 6, Whiteman Channel 6. And we're going to tee up our first Clark Ives here. Regular listeners to the show will know I like to dig deep into old newspaper reports of interesting baseball events of days gone by, sometimes local, sometimes major league. And this one's a major league one. Our TV viewers are seeing the headline right now, Seagull versus the Yanks, the sequel, Bronx Bombers Wear White Hats. And this is from the Toronto Star of August 3rd, 1988. And it was an article written by Alan Ryan. And I think a lot of people listening to this right away already, when we say Seagull and Yanks.
Dave Winfield?
Yeah, Dave Winfield right away. And Exhibition Stadium for our younger listeners and viewers. David Winfield, when he was with the Yankees during a warm-up on a lark, the old Exhibition Stadium down on the lakeshore used to be just teeming with seagulls, and one was sitting on the field, and apparently he sort of said for a lark there was one that was quite a distance away. I forget how far, but quite a distance, and he sort of said to one of his buddies, hey, do you think I could hit that? And sure
and
enough, he did.
He threw a ball and hit him.
Yeah, and he killed the seagull. It was quite a controversy at the time. So what this is this actually was a Toronto Star article from almost five years to the week from when the infamous David Winfield incident happened. In this case is when the Yankees came out to warm up. There was an injured seagull already there. It was kind of flopping around a little bit, getting their attention, and they figured it must have had a broken wing because they tried to shoo it away, and it just wasn't getting lift off. It wasn't getting off the ground. And, of course, they started panicking a little bit about, oh, God.
Here we go again.
Are people going to think we did this? But apparently there was a security guard vouched for them saying, no, that bird was there before the Yankees got out there. And I even tried to chase it off myself, and it didn't work. So the revenge part came in because Ron Guidry, a pretty good pitcher for the Yankees at the time, he apparently took some pity on it, and he tried to lift it off the field. And as he was carrying it off, apparently he took a pretty good nip from the seagull.
Really?
Bitten by a beach chicken.
Yeah, beach chicken, yeah. So he did manage to, Rich Dodson did say after he got bitten, he revised his tactics and held the beak closed, and they took it off to the football field. And after that point, no one knew what happened to that seagull. But
Baseball's got a thing with birds. They really do.
Yeah, you know. Because we were talking about this before, the famous Randy Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Randy won in that case.
Yeah, and for our audience who maybe aren't privy, I can't remember who Randy was pitching for. Maybe it was Arizona at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's one of those unbelievable things that
it's
lets you know.
It's a YouTube moment.
It's one of those mathematical oddities that what can happen will eventually. Because Randy Johnson, who could throw about 100 miles an hour, huge man too, 6'11".
Yeah.
A huge specimen. But as Randy Johnson released a pitch, a bird swooped between the mound and home plate, and his pitch obliterated this. I think it was a seagull.
Destroyed it.
Feathers just, everywhere.
You see a blur of a bird come in, and his fastball caught this bird on its flight between the plate and the mound, and it just got obliterated. You can be Googling it if you want. Maybe Adam. I don't know if Adam. He's pretty good for putting up clips for us.
I wonder if the ball made the plate. It probably didn't even affect its rotation into the plate. Gosh.
Yeah, I don't even. Yeah,
I don't even know. Yeah.
You know, I was saying before when I was looking up the Jordan Hicks stats and stuff like that. What you're saying there about rotation just jogged my mind. They even had the stats down to average rotations.
Wow.
Of
pitches and stuff like that. I'm like, how are they tracking the telemetrics of how often a pitch is spinning between? It's unbelievable what kind of information they have.
Yeah, it's amazing
there.
The analytics that are available today.
Yeah.
You know, the speaking of coming off the All-Star break and all of the things that have went on with that, I mean, I thought it was very interesting what Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, had said. They asked him a question about about expansion. And, you know, he said basically they want 32 teams between the two leagues. And, of course, they have 31 right now. And mentioned specifically six or seven different markets, including Montreal, Canada, Mexico, Vegas, which has become the hot spot now for every Major League.
Golden Knights.
Yeah, the Golden Knights and the NFL is already going there as well. So why not Major League Baseball as well? Portland, Nashville, and Charlotte. And let's bring our producer, Adam Olivero, in on this conversation. And Adam, I mean, it makes sense just from a mathematical point of view to have maybe 16 and 16 for American League and National League. But, I mean, do you see... I mean, he mentioned specifically Montreal, but he also said there could be another market in Canada. You would have to assume it was maybe Vancouver when you kind of analyze what markets it would be. But do you think, would they go back to Montreal?
I think they probably would. I mean, Montreal had a really good team there, and there was a fan base there. I mean, they probably would prefer to have a hockey team before a baseball team. But I should say Quebec City.
Right.
But Vancouver... That one makes sense, too. You always have a nice mild climate there year-round. Baseball would be lovely in Vancouver for a Major League Baseball team. As far as I understand, they already have some AA and AAA in Vancouver, possibly.
Yes, they have a AAA, AAA team, yeah.
If I can back up for one sec, that ball did not cross home plate when Randy hit the bird.
I wouldn't think it would get that far.
No, yeah. It petered off and went through the box towards first base.
So my question is, does that actually count as a pitch?
It counts as a ball.
It certainly was a ball, I guess, at the end of the day. Care, I mean, I know you were in Vegas for hockey in the playoffs against San Jose, and I was in Vegas, of course, for the Edmonton Oilers back in February. I mean, that city has really taken on a certain life of its own with supporting, you know, obviously their first Major League franchise in the Vegas Golden Knights. But, I know what I saw when I was there was fans from out of town made it a trip to go to Vegas. And so you had half of the fans were Vegasites and the other half were, that specific team. They thought, we're going to go to Vegas for 3 days. We'll catch the game and make a trip of it. And I really think that Vegas is set up really nicely to have a bunch of teams.
They absolutely are, because there is the base. There's the local, the people that live there. And in the case of this team, they've embraced it. Being there, the people around me were season ticket holders predominantly. But you're absolutely right. People are going to make that trip. The Oilers are in town. They're going to fly in and see, their team. So they've got the best of both worlds there, right? They've got that, base that's there, that's going to be there day to day. But the others are going to come into town. And just what a product, in the first year, obviously.
They were lucky on that. They put a lot of work into it, but lucky for the market in your first year to have that
absolutely.
Good of a team,
No, absolutely. So, yeah, this could have played out quite differently had that team, languished at the bottom of the league. But, you know, the team performed, and the product there, the show that they put on is absolutely amazing. And they really, just getting into the Stanley Cup, the exposure that they've had, that's now even more so a destination. And you're absolutely right. Major League Baseball is seeing that and thinking, wow.
We got to get in on this.
Absolutely.
And so the conversation as well regarding expansion and Vegas in particular was, you know, is it time for Major League Baseball? Aside from Vegas, they bet on baseball in Vegas. But really nowhere else they bet on baseball. It's not allowed by Major League Baseball. And I mean, Andy, I mean, I think they're living in the dark ages a little bit on not trying to tap into that revenue stream of having baseball being bet on outside of the Vegas
outside
situation.
Of that. And I can't speak to the legalities, but I remember hearing something about 6-7 weeks ago where there had been federal legislation passed in the states that was opening up sports betting
across
in all 50 states. So I can't speak to the specifics of that, but I think there is going to be just a increasing wave of it. They're going to find a way to tax it probably then too. But,
absolutely, yeah. And that's where they get in on it.
Yeah. It's but baseball's just got that history. The Black Sox, Pete Rose, you know, again.
Yeah.
It'll take time, I think, but you know, money talks in the end.
It certainly does talk. And Adam, I mean, with the betting thing, we've seen it go well with the National Hockey League getting in on that and the NBA. But really, the success story of betting is football. I mean, the NFL, people bet on the NFL. It's a happening on Sundays because of betting on the NFL. I mean, yeah, there's tailgate parties and people cheer for their teams, etc. But everybody does a football pool. And everybody bets on football, and it has actually driven the NFL to be more successful of a league than any of the other sports. And it's surprising to me, Adam, that other leagues really haven't sort of watched that blueprint and followed it more.
Absolutely. And I mean, in football, they're betting on everything. You're not betting on who wins or who loses.
The
you're
coin
betting
toss.
On like the coin toss. Yeah. Are they going to make a first down in the second quarter with 2 minutes left? Like, there's all kinds of... And if you're betting that way in football, I mean, look how many stats you guys just talked about in baseball. You could do all kinds of crazy bets. Is J.A. Happ going to throw a strike on the third? Like, there's a lot of room there to grow for the betting. And, you know, we've seen things in Canada, too, with the pro line and all kinds of things like that come around, legal ways of betting. So I could see it really stepping up, especially if you get a major league team in Vegas, that could come to fruition. We could get a lot more of a betting mindset in the gambling world with baseball.
Well, just, you know, look at a typical season as well, right? The NFL, it's much shorter. So
sure.
Just think of, you know, the opportunities there.
Yeah, 18 games versus, 162 plus playoffs, right?
It's coming. It's just a matter of when. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, it's going
to
evolve, interestingly.
My vote's for Vegas.
There is a particular synergy, though, between football and betting that maybe somewhat applies to baseball, but I certainly don't think reaches into hockey. And that's the fact that NFL football, it has the 40-second play clock. It has four downs. There's a huge amount of downtime, right?
Sure.
So when you're sitting there with your buddies couch jockeying, you need something to kind of fill the time a little bit.
Yeah, let's look around the league, see all the scores, and see how I'm doing in all my bets.
It's not like the CFL with a 20-second play clock where they're getting back at it, and there's like 20 more plays a game on average. But I think that's part of that synergy. Now, baseball does have a fairly slow pace, and traditionally, betting amongst fans was a huge part of baseball culture in its early history.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that with hockey, it's a little more continuous action. So there's not as much time, but, and Adam was referencing Proline, but you know, those of you that have been around long enough, that actually held up Toronto getting an NBA franchise.
It did.
Cause they had draconian anti-gambling laws because organized crime had been infiltrating college basketball particularly, but also NBA basketball. And with five players on a team, a player can influence the outcome of the game quite a bit. And that's where they were getting a lot of players on the behalf of illegal betting were shaving points or, you know, whatever. And that's why they brought in draconian anti-gambling laws. And that's what held up because Ontario had Proline. For a while, it was up in the air whether or not Toronto could get a franchise. Now they hold their Board of Governors meetings in Vegas every year, right? So
yeah, Summer League, yeah.
I guess it's just the difference in, you know, over time things become more normalized. And, you know, I think that they're also getting hurt by the offshore betting. Of course, they're not getting any piece of the pie for their own product. So at least this way, when they control the narrative and actually have a piece of the pie, it's a different story. And, you know, why should they let, you know, the offshore sports books make all the money? They may as well get in on the game, too. It's already happening.
Well, the other fears, you know, they had about NHL teams going into Vegas and, you know, having a coming out of it.
They used to do when they used to, you know, have a layover for Los Angeles Kings games, they'd end up in Vegas anyways, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, guys, the Jays, I mean, they're in an interesting position, 43-52. They're sitting fourth in the AL East and 23.5 games out. I mean, it's hard to believe that, I mean, Boston 68-30. I didn't really see that coming in terms of just how dominant they've been. But then you look at the Atlanta Braves, who were basically the worst team in Major League Baseball, not more than last year and the year before, they're 10 games over 500, only a half game back in the NL East, and they got a guy named Alex Anthopoulos, who we know well as the former GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, doing pretty good in his first season with the Atlanta Braves.
Certainly, yeah. I think a lot of people are looking at him with a lot of respect because, you know, after a little bit of a blip there, the Jays haven't really done all that great the last couple of years.
They've done nothing.
Yeah, nothing whatsoever. I'm going to say let's take our second recess, and then we'll come on back with our second Clark Dives, and then wrap it on up with some more baseball talk from there.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs.
We know our stuff.
When you step into Bath & Biscuit Dog Grooming Salon in Durham, you'll see why it's the place for passionate pet parents. Grooms include brush out, haircut from nose to tail, nail trimming, hydro surge bath that deep cleans your furry friends, blow dry and finishing spray. Private appointments, treats, experienced groomers, and a whole lot of love ensures that you've got the best looking dog on the block. Bath & Biscuit Dog Grooming Salon on Gareth Roxas Street North in Durham now also sells pet food and supplies. Visit them at bathandbiscuit.ca.
This is Lynn Fanstone from Century 21 Millennium. Real estate is not my job, it's my passion. And I love it. Thinking of buying or selling? I'll get you moving. Let me put my skill and experience to work for you. Whether you're upsizing, downsizing, smart sizing, or looking for commercial property, I'll get the job done. Check out Century 21 Lynn Fanstone, that's Lynn with an E, or like me on Facebook. Or you can call me anytime on 705-443-7247. Let's chat. Together, we can make it happen. This message is not intended to solicit buyers or sellers currently under contract with a brokerage.
Hanover's biggest block party is dedicated to making sure you have the best summer ever. Aldersley Securities and Eastlink bring you Hanover Sights and Sounds Festival, July 26th to 29th. Kick things off with Kids Night at the Drive-In Thursday. Enjoy the free family swim and paint night Friday evening. There's also a kids talent contest, kids zone, yoga, and kangaroo in the park, and the list goes on. Join us for a day or the entire weekend. Visit sights-sounds.ca for more details.
If you're ready to buy that special car, minivan, or SUV, but are worried about finding a reliable used vehicle, this is Greg Lamb of Lamb Auto in Hanover. Come in and take a look at our quality used cars. I personally drive each one to ensure your purchase is reliable and ready for years of great service. Let the experience of Lamb Auto get you that reliable vehicle you will love. Lamb Auto is in Hanover beside Norm's Restaurant or online at lambauto.ca.
Bruce and Gray counties are amazing places to live, but sometimes they can be difficult to get around and explore. That's where Soggy Mobility and Regional Transit comes in. Since 1977, they've specialized in public transit service to those with permanent or temporary mental and physical challenges within Bruce and Gray counties. Finally, you have the ability to stay mobile. Life can be challenging. Let Soggy Mobility help. To find out more about smart services in your area or to register, visit soggymobility.ca and they'll see you soon.
Tired of hard water wreaking havoc around your home? Dry skin and lifeless hair? Dull and dingy laundry? Soap scum and spotted glasses too?
Hey, Culligan man! A Culligan water softener turns hard water soft every time. Soft water is the answer. Not cleaning products or detergents. Culligan saves you up to 50% on soaps and detergents while turning your laundry, bathroom, and kitchen brilliant, like me. Hey, Culligan Man!
This is Trevor Porter. Join me Saturdays from 3 to 7 p.m. for the Saturday Afternoon Jukebox. Each week, I'll play the greatest hits of the 50s and 60s and pass along fun facts and little-known trivia about the music. You're bound to hear some songs you haven't heard since back in the day. That's the Saturday Afternoon Jukebox with me, Trevor Porter, Saturdays 3 to 7 p.m. right here on 91.3 FM, Blue Water Radio.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs.
We know our stuff.
We're back with Baseball Talk, ladies and gentlemen, and as promised, since there's two clerks on the show tonight, we're going to have two clerk dives. And the first one was from the Toronto Star, and the next one's coming from a little closer to home. Sweet little Hanover Post piece here from, let's see here, it was July 24th, I believe, of 1988. I didn't write my notes down clear enough there, apparently. But the headline that you're seeing on the TV screen is 209 wins, 32 losses since Tyke. Midgets unity is the secret to success. And this was written by Mike Turner, who was a reporter for the Hanover Post for a long time. And what it's talking about here is there was a group of kids that started playing together. A core of them started playing together when they were in Tyke. Some house league rookie Tyke ball, they said. And they played all the way through, up through midget, and probably kept playing until juvenile. And some of them played a little bit of junior. There's a little resurgence of junior baseball in the area at the time. And the coach there, Al Steinhoff, there's quite a few quotes, and he was saying that, there was a core of players. He said a lot of good players came and went, but there was a core of players that parents were dedicated, they were dedicated, and they just kept winning. And I was kind of surprised they kept the record of this group going through from their young ages through. And he said what was an interesting oddity, too, was the team has somewhat of an odd characteristic in that its entire pitching staff is left-handed. Stefan Lawinow, Mike Garcia, Terry Sawyer, and Todd Nichols are all southpaws. And the catchers were Pete Dersom and Chris Antonopoulos, who he was a pretty good hockey player from Mount Forest, too. Let's see here. Infield was Mike Beniger, Mark Steinhoff at second base, Kara Clark in studio with us, shortstop. I think you were part of that core going through, that seven or nine kids going through. Davey Maurer on third base, and the outfield being Andy Blackburn, Jeff Alexander, Dave Aslin, Rob Becker, and Greg Mighton. So, yeah, a bunch of good hockey players thrown in there, too.
Very much so.
Yeah, so I think he knew I was doing this, but he didn't realize it was his team.
I didn't know it was our team. You ambushed me, dude. It's Al Steinhoff that begins and ends there. Al had pitched in the Yankees system earlier on, so he knew baseball inside out. And, yeah, he had handpicked us coming out of, I guess, Tyke. I can't even remember. T-ball. I was with him since T-ball. And he had us doing, you know, time plays, doing crazy stuff at a very early age. And just what an amazing experience. A lot of those guys are still friends today. But it was really just Al himself was, you know, the reason why there was that longevity. Just a fantastic guy, you know, teaching the game of baseball. But he was just... you know, how to carry yourself.
The value, the technical part of baseball, and you're right, the values, the attitude and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a quote from him, actually, that's in this article that speaks to that. It's Al Steinhoff says, "When they started years ago, there was another main purpose they wanted to stress, aside from the winning. We wanted to teach them well enough that when they got older and sat down in front of the TV with their own kids, they would be able to explain the game to them," he says. "Well, they can do that now. They're very knowledgeable."
Yeah, so, no, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know how many taxi cab drivers over the years, you know, they've kind of given me that whole story about, you know, kids today, you know, they give them just a trophy for participation. And that's fine. I don't want to even get into that. But it's a lot of fun actually winning the trophy.
Yeah, you actually earned it.
So,
I mean... the focus of just having fun. I mean, we all want to have fun, but at the end of the day, you're competing for something as well.
Competing at a pretty high level, and we had gone, you know, all Ontario. We never won it, but we went all Ontario numerous years, and And again, it was an amazing experience, and that does transfer. There's, you know, organized sports, team sports, it really does transfer later in life.
Moves into other things, yeah.
Well, you learn about teamwork and life skills that serve you in so many ways through your whole entire life.
How to compete, yeah, absolutely.
So when I was finding this in the archives of the Hanover Post today, to put it in the broader context of what was going on in minor baseball in Hanover at the time, the Midgets were making a good run at OBA titles that particular year included. The Bantams made a run at an OBA title. The Tykes made a run at an OBA title. And then I was playing Pee-wee that year, and it did actually mention an article where they said that they only had about 8 kids that were out. They had 13 sign up, and only 8 were coming out. So they actually folded the team that year. So that was kind of my angst, because I was a pretty good ball player at the time, like for minor baseball. Not to blow my own horn, but I just did. But
It's a fact.
Every couple of years, I'd run into that where when I was on the younger end of the category, I'd play rep ball, and that was fine. But when I was at the senior end, they wouldn't have enough people for a team. So I remember a few occasions, actually, with your team, when I was on my senior peewee, there was a few times we'd show up at away games, and I was like the little brother, you know, tooting around, and they'd be like, not enough people showed up. Yeah. So I'd be thrown into the lineup with the Midgets. I played at least 2 or 3 games, and I remember one of them I showed up in, like, you know, Hush Brown, or what do you call those old shoes? Like the
Hush Puppies.
I'm wearing a pair of Hush Puppies. They're like, well, we need another guy.
Yeah, you so could at least slide in those.
So I was carted with the team or whatever, this like little kid peewee. And I'd like to say I was cranking the ball left and right and center, but I actually did okay in the sense I remember being hit by a pitch. I remember walking a lot because I was a bit shorter than a lot of the kids. And stole a few bases.
Can we play Glory Days in the background?
In the background. Right? Glory Days. Right. But yeah, I didn't crank too much. A few infield singles, but yeah, this got my 2 or 3 games in, and that was about it. But there you go. And good on you, Al Stanoff. He was a fantastic coach, and his brother Bill was the manager, and he coached me at times too, and also a great
top
coach.
Shelf individuals, a hockey coach as well. Just a great guy. Blessed to have that guy in our lives.
Yeah, and certainly doesn't hurt to do all the name dropping of names like, you know, Mike Garcia and Pete Dersom that are all still in this area. So there you go, Whiteman and Blue.
Yeah, a fun look back. I would have to say I quite enjoyed that little story. And, Kara, I know you were telling me off-air about this app that's very interesting that, as a sports fan, it kind of maps your moods.
Yeah.
Tell us more about this.
No, I was reading a fascinating article. It's there's a study done in England at the University of Sussex, and what this app does is gauge your happiness. And over the last 3-4 years, soccer fans, they've been it's just a scale based on how their team does. They map, you know, your happiness. And so they're showing preliminary results, and it's really fascinating. What they've found is, you know, the happiness of a win, that's outweighed by, you know, how bad you feel on a loss by almost 2 times.
Wow.
Which is really remarkable. And not only that, just what, you know, what you feel, it's how long you feel it. If your team wins, it's much shorter, that feeling, that euphoria, versus, you know, losing. That tends to stick with you much longer. And, you know, for all of us that went through the Ballard era Leafs, you know, this certainly rings true. Yeah. But, I just a general sports fan, a little bit of trivia there for you.
Yeah. I wonder if that's just British, or is that generalized, or how would that apply to Canadian fans,
too? I can't imagine that's just soccer, you know, but that's a great question.
I mean, the concept of it, of course, is the fact that, you know, we've all felt it playing sports, that you do dwell on a loss longer, unless you're one of the people that are able to sort of compartmentalize that and just move on from it. But a lot of people really struggle with, you know, difficult losses in particular, where, you know, it stays with you much longer than you'd like it to. And I mean, I think in junior hockey, and the connection I have with the Guelph Storm, you know, I've seen that with players that, you know, they get into a funk because they're so upset about a loss. And, you know, whereas you win and, you know, you kind of go on with the next one with a good feeling, but it maybe doesn't stick with you as quite as long.
Well, this is fans. So, you know, certainly players, you know.
It could be the same with players.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
To bring it around, though, to sports, and you can look at the statistics for different things, but say baseball, you know, the most lights out baseball hitter this year is going to hit 333. That means he's hitting, you know, one third.
A lot of failure.
Failing
that's a lot of failure. So you got to be able to get over that's, you know, that's 66% failure you got to get used to dealing with to be the best hitter in baseball. You know, if you're hitting only 200, right? That's 80%.
Any of those elite, you know, regardless of the sport, they have a really short memory. They move on. They move on.
We should sneak in the Twitter poll there. Adam, if you could fire that up for us. We have 2 minutes out here. So this week's oh, and by the way, if you want to catch our next Twitter poll, you can find us. It'll be at Gray County Guy on Twitter is where we'll be posting them for the show right now. And Adam, what do we got for the Twitter poll?
I just want to first mention that I'd probably be hitting one-tenth of the time if I'm lucky. All right, what do we got for the Twitter poll here? Well, we had a question of poll for baseball talk. Which of these Blue Jays would you most likely like to see traded? And we had Russell Martin, J.A. Happ, Roberto Osuna, and Justin Smoke. And the Twitter poll comes in at 41% for Osuna, 36% for J.A. Happ, 23% for Martin, and 0% for Justin Smoke. So take it as you will, but I'm not too surprised that people want to see Osuna moved out with the drama he's been causing recently.
Yeah, and Justin Smoke, obviously, is value for the money and still producing. J.A. Happ, I think people like him, but they're just thinking they might actually get some return for him.
You know what? I'm kind of heartened by the fact that Osuna led this poll because you know, I thought sports fans might condone, you know, like if he's a great player and we don't really know the whole situation, but they're putting their foot down and saying, you know what, we're not going to condone, you know, physical violence against a spouse or a partner. And they're saying that, you know, regardless, he's a good player. He has to go. I'm really heartened by that.
So that brings us to the top of our show here. Thanks for spending a nice summer evening with us on Baseball Talk. We'll catch you next time.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs. We
know our stuff. Thank you for watching Baseball Talk. Be sure to tune into the live show every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on 91.3 FM Blue Water Radio and watch the video replay every Friday night at 8 p.m. on Whiteman TV Channel 6.
The preceding program was brought to you by Whiteman TV and Bruce Telecom.